Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive. This is holiday season here. We're doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour a bunch of times this week. Come on out, visit us. We'll be at Fadley's in the afternoon on Wednesday. Thursday morning, we'll be at Deep Pasquale's. People are lining up there in the Sausage King. He's making me the provolone and this and the jalapeno and the cheddar. I got all the, I'm going to. Sausage for all my friends at Deep Pasquale's on Thursday morning, brought to you by the Maryland Lottery and our friends at GBMC who have kept me safe. And I'm going to be down in Halethorpe on Friday at Honey's. Next Thursday, I'm going to be at Costas with Gina Shock from the Go-Go's and a bunch of my rock and roll buddies. And then we're going to be on Friday at Gertrude's, next Friday at Gertrude's at the BMA. God, they have a gingerbread. Luke, it's beautiful, man. They have a gingerbread house. They have a whole thing there. It's an art museum. Of course, it's beautiful. And then on Monday, we're going to be at Planet Fitness because I need to get in shape for 2026. So that's the last thing I'm going to do before see Santa and eat all that gingerbread is go over to Planet Fitness and see what all the hubbub's about. It's brand new Planet Fitness in Timonium, right across from Costas, right on York Road. I'm going to hang out there on that Monday before Christmas. And we're trying to figure out something nice we can do for the holidays too. Food drive, something. I'm going to do something. I'll let you know when I come up with it. Right now, trying to come up with whether the football team's going to remain relevant or not. Luke Jones joins me now. He, of course, was in the locker room after the game and at the game. I was partying up with my Super Bowl 35 bunkies on Friday night. And then literally, I've laid low all weekend. I've just been working my ass off. I've discovered AI. There's all sorts of cool things. Had great guests on the show as well. And we're doing all these crab cakes. So I've been busy, but you said something very poignant to me off the air last week, and I'm going to out you for this. I'm going to absolutely go shoot interview on you, you wrestling fan. You said to me, the Ravens used to be a way of life around here, and now it's just something you do 3 hours on Sunday. And for the fans that go down there and the ones that don't, there's a reason. Price, access, don't like the upper deck, can't have the traffic, the city. I'm going to afraid of getting shot. Whatever your thing is, it's okay. You're under no moral obligation to go, even though 30 years ago I believed that. 30 years ago I preached on this radio station. The radio station was built on the fact that support for the team needed to be universal. Love for it said Baltimore. You got to love it. They told me that when Angelos and it was the bird was squirting me 20 years ago too, and he wasn't paying the bill. But like. This is a real critical time for them, having gathered with the Super Bowl 35 people this weekend, having been a dozen years off the other championship. Bisciotti looks old and tired and nastier than ever. The organization does all sorts of sleazy things that I know about, starting with Justin Tucker and back to Ray Rice and covering things up and throwing me out and other things that have gone on involving women in their building, specifically women, which is really, oof. So. I think of them certainly in a different way, and I gave them tens of thousands, if not millions of dollars in money and PSLs and chasing them around and whatever. I don't know why other people don't go. The Wembley knee. I mean, I'm going through a list of things that Sashi Brown better know about and that Katie Griggs better know about in 30 years of the disgrace in the other parking lot. But we are getting to the point now where a lot of people have gone down to games this year and watched them lose. A lot of people like me don't go anymore and don't feel the same way about them because of how they're treated, how their PSL went, where they've moved to, whatever their deal is. But this is a really critical time for the franchise where the place is emptied out a bunch of times. Fans stay to the end, lose to the Steelers. Officiating's bad. They're mad at the officials. They're mad at their bets. Really mad at their bets. And the team's not good and doesn't look like it's going to get fixed in the next month. And it doesn't. And as much as the post game pundits, everybody thinks the Ravens are going to play that game on January 10th or 11th here against the Bills. They still believe that. I don't know, man. I'm not sold, bro. I mean, I'm not sold on what's going on the field. I'm not sold on the coaches. And I'm not sold. And this is where I'll begin our segment two here this week in the aftermath of 6-7 and losing to the Steelers in front of the Super Bowl 35 champs. I don't know where the accountability is, man. You know what I mean? Lamar's got a job for life. Eric's got a job for life. John's got a job for life. Steve's got a job for life. Chad's got a job for life. Sasha's got a job for life. Everybody got a job for life. And I don't know that If this thing comes crashing down and they win one more game. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, where are their wins, dude? New England, Green Bay. Who are they going to beat? Cincinnati, maybe? I don't know.
I mean, maybe Cincinnati. I don't know. I don't feel good about it. Get back to me later in the week when we see the injury report and whether Lamar's practicing and all of that. But look, just to touch on what you talked about with fan engagement or lack thereof, attendance or lack thereof, enthusiasm or lack thereof. I'll give you this because look, I'm not going to sit here and tell people they should or shouldn't spend their money, and they
I
have
used
one.
to.
Yeah, but I also understand everyone's circumstance is different in that way. And look, I've said full transparency. I've said to you a number of times, the experience of watching live sports on television has gotten so good compared to what it was 25 years ago that a lot of times it's just you don't want to deal with the hassle of it, right? I mean, and not even with like perceived fear of the city or any of the talking points that any number of individuals have cited over the years. Like there is a convenience factor of, and I just say if I were talking as Luke the fan, not Luke the media guy over the last 15 years, well, I can go to church Sunday morning rather than skipping church, and I can go buy, a six pack of beer from the convenience store right up the road and have some cheap food, make some food, but go buy some, and
You can
it's a
have some expensive
fraction.
food if you want. You can
Yeah,
spend 30 or
sure.
40 bucks on
Yeah.
yourself as
But that's
opposed to
cheap compared
75
to
on parking or whatever, right?
sure, compared
Right.
to the bill you're going to run up over the course of the day. So there's
You can
some of
get the
that.
big shrimp or the good crab cakes, at home, right?
And I will say this, and if someone takes offense to this, then I'm probably not talking about you individually as a listener or as a reader. I think this fan base is spoiled to some degree. Now, I don't think that was wise for Kyle Hamilton to say that 2 months ago in the context that he did, but they have done a lot of winning, and it is not any individual fan's birthright to win the Super Bowl every single year, right? Despite what they're feeling in Kansas City right now as the Chiefs are on their way to missing the playoffs for the first time in forever.
Or to have a Super
But
Bowl, or excuse me, not a Super Bowl, strike that, an MVP quarterback
sure.
available to you that you have a chance to win,
Sure,
right?
sure. So there is some of that at work. But I will say this, just to give you my perspective as far as not even what I've seen this season or the last couple seasons, but specifically to Sunday. I generally try to get to the stadium around, but somewhere between 9:30 and 10. I'm the type, as many people are as they get older, I don't like dealing with traffic and bigger crowds and all that. And that's another reason probably why I said what I said about enjoying staying at home rather than going and watching games in person at this point in my life. But as I drove to the stadium Sunday morning and I thought back to being in college or when I was still teaching and had would get season tickets off, the secondary market with my best buddy out of college. And I thought back to what Ravens Steelers games meant then, and that meant we were getting to our tailgate lot by 9 a.m. If it was any later than that, you'd feel like you're missing out because it's Ravens Steelers and the buzz is palpable and all of that. When I drove to the lot around 9:30, Nestor, other than it being cold, it had to feel like I was going to a preseason game. There was no buzz. There was no energy. And I'm sure that picked up to some degree as it got to be 10 and 11 o'clock, and I'm already in the press box at that point. So I'm not, this isn't meant to be a wide range generalization, but it's just a snapshot of what I see compared to what it felt like at one point in time. It didn't feel like a Ravens Steelers game at all. And, I know you pointed this out and others pointed this out. You looked at the secondary ticket market. I mean, it was not as bad as it was for like the Rams game or the Texans game earlier this year, but certainly not what you would expect for two teams that were vying for sole possession of first place in the AFC North in week 14.
And an Alabama Auburn game or a Michigan
Sure,
Ohio State
sure. I mean,
game
just a blood
or a
game, blood
Maryland
rivalry,
Duke
sure.
game or a pick whatever you want,
Yeah.
right?
So
That
like,
it's as good as it gets when you're first place. They have
yeah.
a legendary quarterback that, Aaron Rodgers hadn't played a lot in Baltimore, right? Like,
Yeah, what,
right?
just once? I think, no, twice. Twice. He played there in 21 and he played there in 13. And in 05, didn't he relieve Brett Favre because the Ravens whipped them in that Sunday night game in 05? I think it was a
That
Sunday
might have
night.
been the
Maybe a
coldest
Monday.
game of
It
my
might have been a
life.
Monday night game. I
I
think it was a Monday
actually
night
took
game,
a
actually.
friend of mine up who was a Ravens vice president then. He always
Yeah.
invited me into a box. I actually sat in a box, and James Earl Jones was in the box that day.
Yeah.
And my wife, but I
That's pretty
remember
awesome.
that was a
Yeah, late
cold
in the
Green Bay
season. I
game.
mean, the Ravens were bad
That's
that
how
year.
long Aaron Rodgers has been in the
Yeah,
league.
it's 21 years. Sure. So,
Jeez.
I mean, Brett Favre started that game, but I'm pretty sure he
Dude, that was a
played late in
million
that
years
game.
ago.
Yeah, it was literally 20 years ago. So, having said all that, I don't know what all the answers are. I don't know what all the problems are. I think they vary from person to person, from demographic to demographic. I think there's a sense amongst younger generations, and I'm not saying this to blast them by any means, but the idea of committing the money and the time to a full slate of home games, season tickets. And, we mentioned this in passing in our previous segment. I mean, the Ravens are 3-5 at home this year. That perceived home field advantage and it being the place to be, well, it hasn't been the place to be in 2025. So I don't say that to put the organization on blast, but to just put your, for anyone to just bury their head in the sand and not acknowledge that there's the mojo's not going in the right direction with this entire brand, let's say, that would be tough to ignore. And again, how much of that is things the Ravens are doing or not doing, and how much of that is what I acknowledge that, yeah, I do think fans are a little spoiled and don't fully appreciate just how good it's been over the bulk of 25 years compared to where it is, what it is in a lot of places. And like, look, I'll hear, okay, they weren't the Patriots from 2001 through 2019, and they certainly haven't been what the Chiefs have been over the last 7 years. But it's a short list of teams that you would say have been definitively better than the Baltimore Ravens over the last 25 years. So that's, I want to acknowledge that. But yeah, when you bring it back to Sunday and to see how many empty seats and just, I mean, it just, that vibe just wasn't there. And I don't know how much of that is our long-term kind of issues and how much of that is just the disdain for this year's team. And just how disappointing it's felt, and the fact that they're 6-7, and no one, other than maybe some sports books and a few national pundits, no one's really believing in this team at this football at this point in time, and
Well,
I
it's
can't
also a
blame
thing.
them.
Do the fans want to
But
be a part of it or not?
yeah,
Do people
so
want to go down and participate in it? Or is it something where you feel like it's them and them, not us and them, and the Ravens aren't us? They're just the Ravens, and I sit at home and I gamble on them, and
yeah, I
I
don't
had the
know.
kicker on my fantasy team, and that pissed me off. And I had, like, I don't. They've
I don't
just
know.
done such an awful job at so many things, and I think it was illuminating to spend time with the Super Bowl 35 team this weekend to watch them come back and fly into it with their family. And when they look around with their children and look in the upper deck and see the place empty, they're like, this isn't what it used to be. And most of these guys go to their colleges too, where it still kind of sort of is,
Yeah.
what it used to be to some degree when you go to game days, to at least have a depth of fan base to fill up a stadium when the Steelers. Two fan bases. Forget
Yeah.
the Ravens. Steelers fans too. Like
Yeah.
Steelers fans used to want to take over our stadium,
Well,
in a general
and that's
sense.
where I would why I would even say it's a reflection on where Pittsburgh is right now. Now, were there Steelers fans in the stadium? Yeah. There was an opportunity for them to take over the stadium, like really take it over, like in a way that we haven't seen in these parts since, like, go back to like 1997 at Memorial Stadium or something along
Which
those
pissed me
lines.
off greatly on the air
Right.
and pissed David Modell off so
Sure.
much that it never happened again.
Sure. But that speaks to where they are and where their brand is. And I would say this, I've been, you and I have both been to the place formerly known as Heinz Field in recent years. You absolutely see more yellow seats at kickoff and in the first quarter and in the third quarter than you did 15 or 20 years ago. So some of that might also be, that's also the reality of where we are in 2025. And you're talking about two markets that don't have insanely high populations, right? You're not talking about this mega city population that you can draw from to fill a 70,000 feet or 70,000 seat stadium, but it does speak to the temperature of these respective fan bases. And I mean, my goodness, I mean, the Ravens lost to a team on Sunday where all of the chatter over the course of the week was about the future of their 19th year head coach compared to what the Steelers' prospects are for the rest of this season, whether they win the division or not, whether they're the one that's hosting Buffalo in the first round or not. I mean, there's little oxygen for that. I mean, it's more resignation that, oh, okay, well, the Steelers might make the playoffs again, but they're in this mediocre 9-8. All the Steelers care about is Tomlin having another non-losing season, yada yada yada. That's what you hear there. And you kind of draw the parallels here, and I said it to you late last week. I'm not going to just sit here and call for John Harbaugh's head or even Mike Tomlin's head, right? But anyone would have to acknowledge when you're 18 years into that rivalry, that part of the rivalry, you're way closer to the end than the beginning. I mean, that's just the facts of life, right? So whether it's this year, whether it's next year, whether it's the year after that, what's going to happen with the Steelers? What's going to happen with the Ravens? I mean, all that. You do look at it and say, is this going in the right direction? And even for the Ravens, who are in a way better position in terms of looking at the roster, when it begins with having a two-time MVP at quarterback compared to, okay, I get it, the Steelers have a multi-time MVP at quarterback, but he's 42 years old and probably not going to be playing after this year, I would guess. I mean, maybe he comes back for one more year, but
I
is
don't
that
know.
in
He's
Pittsburgh?
crazy and smart and
I
still in
mean,
shape
yeah,
and
but the point is that certainly you no one looks at the Pittsburgh Steelers right now and thinks they have any sort of a trajectory that's getting better and getting closer to a Super Bowl. Whereas like the Ravens, even if the Ravens lose three of their last four and maybe they change,
they'll still be the favorites
make
from half the
coaching
people to
changes.
win the division next year
Yeah,
because of
sure. And
Lamar,
because you
Kyle
still have Lamar.
Hamilton,
Yes, exactly.
and John
So
Harbaugh's a winner.
yeah, so they are in different positions. There's no question about that. But I think it's very fair to ask if you're ownership, if you're the higher ups in either organization, to ask if you are moving in the right direction. Are you moving forwards? Are you moving backwards? And I think that's what's so discouraging when you talk about the Ravens 2 years ago hosting an AFC title game, and then they lose in the divisional round last year to Buffalo. And look, we know what Kansas City and Buffalo have been in the AFC. Kansas City's been king, and the Ravens have been right there with Buffalo trying to take down Kansas City. But Buffalo has had the upper hand over the Ravens. So we know how that pecking order's looked. But to now be looking at a year, especially in a year, and I think this is where it adds to the frustration because of the wide open nature of the AFC, at least in terms of perception, knowing that Kansas City, their playoff hopes are in worse shape than the Ravens right now. I mean, they are truly bleak. I mean, the Ravens, there is still a path that's very plausible if they can win games. Kansas City's in a position now where even if they win their remaining games, they need help, right? They're going to be looking at other teams needing to lose. Whereas the Ravens, if they win out, they still, I'm pretty sure, still control their destiny. I hate that term, but for lack of a better descriptor, they control their path, let's say, to the playoffs. But I mean, it's just, you look at this and it doesn't feel like it's, they're backsliding. I mean, how can you call it anything but that? And I don't know how much of that to put on the coaching, how much of that to put on the players, how much of that to put on Eric DaCosta. But I think the answer is yes. I think everyone has their hands on it. And there are things you can point to in terms of moves made, coaching decisions, lack of development among certain position groups, and certainly the players themselves. I mean, look, at the end of the day, the Ravens have a two-time MVP quarterback who is paid very, very well, is going to be paid even more this March when they need to sign him to an extension. And I get it that he's banged up, but it's also not completely absolve Lamar Jackson. He's not playing very well. And he played better on Sunday, and that was good to see, but he's not, he hasn't been a big enough part of the solution. We said that how many times about Joe Flacco back in 2013 and 2015 and 16 and 17, and up to the point that he was benched, hurt and then benched for Lamar Jackson, where I would say, look, it's not Joe Flacco's fault. Like, it's not his, he's not the biggest one at fault here, but he's not a big enough part of the solution. And, it's not the same exact situation with Lamar because he has been banged up. And I do think that's a major part of this. But I'm also not going to sit here and say that they don't need better from their franchise quarterback because they do. But they need better from their 18th year head coach. They need better from their coordinators. They need better from not just Lamar, but their other top tier high paid players. They need better from their second tier players. They need better from their third team players and special teams contributors, which, their special teams were woeful on Sunday. I mean, it's just not good enough. I mean, it just isn't. And with four games to go, and especially having dropped these last two games at home, that's completely erased whatever momentum they had built over a five game winning streak. I'd be lying to you if I sat here with any conviction of having any meaningful belief in this football team at this point, other than what all of our preconceived notions were about the Baltimore Ravens entering the 2025 season. We keep defaulting back to that. And I feel like, anyone who can keep going back to how you thought this team was supposed to play in 2025 and just not seeing it. I mean, they're mediocre. They're not awful, but they're certainly not great. They're not good. They're middling. And that's, again, brings me back to my biggest takeaway from Sunday's game is that it really just feels like they've dropped down to the Steelers tier of, these fringe playoff teams, because you have to take seven teams. And if you're the winner of a lousy division, they have to put you in the playoffs. And that's where the Ravens feel like they are right now. And it doesn't really feel like they're going to climb out of that this year. They'll reset however they're going to reset. And my goodness, we'll have a lot of time to talk about that once that point in time comes. But man, it just, you look at the remaining schedule and do I think they're going to lose out? I think they'll, I, no, I don't think they're going to go 0-4, but I certainly don't have any belief that they're going to win out. I don't have any confidence that they're going to win 3 out of 4. So, you go 2-2, you're 8-9. I mean, short of Pittsburgh really stumbling big time, which they could, and maybe 8-9 does it. I don't know. We've seen it in the NFL before, but man, I don't believe in this football team. I just don't.
Here's Luke Jones, and we've done the officiating dance a little bit, and we did not lead the story with that today. And we've talked about what happens if they don't make the playoffs. What happens if they really look lousy and lose out? What if, I mean, I don't know, lose out, but these aren't easy games. Three out of
None of
four on
them.
the road.
None.
They've already played their home games.
They
I don't
already
know.
lost to Cincinnati at home. So now you're going there, and they lose on Sunday. So that puts them mathematically in a very unlikely position in terms of the playoffs. But you can't tell me that Joe Burrow and the Bengals wouldn't love to, from their perception, to put one of the final nails in the coffin for the 2025 Ravens. I mean, if they go to Cincinnati on Sunday and lose, man, no one's believing they're beating the Patriots, and no one's believing they're going to Green Bay and beating the Packers. No one's really believing they're going to Pittsburgh and winning, other than just, hey, it's Ravens Steelers, you never know. But under that scenario, does that game even mean anything by then? So, man, I mean, it's just, it is what it is. They're not a good football team. And like, I trying to continue to play, do this exercise of imagining the path, and it's still there, but my
Well, let's talk
goodness.
about the running game then for a second,
Sure.
because, like, to me, at the heart of all of this is second and what, and third and how, and fourth and how few, on downs, and how often we've seen the punter, how often we've seen bad down and distances, how often we've seen not, I thought about this the other day. Somebody said something. I don't know what announcer it was over the weekend. It may have been in the Ravens game. I'm not even sure. I will come up with it because it was a color announcer in a game that had some sort of catchphrase about 5 yards. I'll take 5 yards on every play all day. 5 yards, 5 yards, 5 yards. And I thought, that's a beautiful way to live life, isn't it? If I could just get 5 yards, I don't need to have 30, 40-yard passes. I don't need to have big, flashy plays, you know, whatever. Just 5 yards, 5 yards, 5 yards. Five. If you have a 60, 70% chance of getting 5 yards on a play, run it every play. You know, because like 5 yards and 5 yards and 5 yards, you got three plays, that's 15 yards. We're gonna win the Super Bowl. We're never, and I'm in my AI mode about that because that's kind of like the algebra of how you stack things and say, or how you become a great at anything in life. Just little wins, little wins, little wins, little wins. But 5 yards on first down and 5 yards on a play is really, really hard to do in the league. If it were easy to do, everybody would go to the Hall of Fame. It sounds easy, but then you go out there and say, well, it's just 15 feet. How do we get 15 feet? And it starts with the offensive line. It ends with the defensive line for them, that they're not good enough off the ball right now. They have a lot of skill this and dazzle that and Zay this and Marlon that. And like, that's great, but they're losing battles to the line of scrimmage. And that wouldn't behoove 2019 Lamar, because that's not the way it was done.
Yeah, and look, I mean, it sounds a little silly to say this because they rushed for 217 yards, and they did run the ball better. I mean, it was great to see Keaton Mitchell, bust a long run,
I thought it was
even.
great to see Keaton Mitchell's dad, but that's
Yeah,
just me.
but even though he, pulled up lame at the end of it, it's part of why he got caught and, was out of the game then. But we've talked about it a lot. You can look at the yards per carry and say, oh, this is a good running game. You can look at the yards per game and say, this is a good running game. But I continue to look at success rate, and that is where it really shows up, the down to down inconsistency of this ground game. And was that better on Sunday? Sure, right? And again, I want to give them their props.
Against a
Do
defense that's been lousy.
against a defense that had given up 250 yards to Buffalo at home the week before, right? So,
Like beyond lousy, like just that terrible.
but it
Like, yeah.
also speaks to. There is running the ball well in terms of just looking at the box score, and there's the down to down consistency. And that's why I've cited the fact that they entered week 14, 24th in the NFL in rushing success rate. And, for anyone who's not familiar, success rate is basically a formula that breaks it down in terms of what is your down and distance and what are you achieving on that play. So if you're talking in terms of it's first and 10, and you run for 6 yards, that's a successful play. You've gotten over half the yards required for a first down. If it's second and 10 and you get 8 yards, that's a successful play. However, if it's third and 15 and you run the ball for 10 yards, and I'm doing this just to explain success rate for people. If you have third and 15 and you run or throw the ball for 10 yards, is that a successful play?
No.
No, it's not because you're
You threw
punting.
under the
So
sticks.
the
Right.
idea is you're. It's a way to measure down to down consistency. And the idea, we talk a lot in football about staying on schedule, right? Success rate is a great measurement of how well an offense stays on schedule. And the fact that the Ravens were 24th in rushing success rate going into Sunday's game very much speaks to what we have seen with our eyes. The numbers, the stats say one thing, but what we've seen with our eyes, play to play, down to down, series to series, game to game, quarter to quarter, game to game, is a running game that, yes, has had generated some big plays. And we've seen those, maybe not as many from Derrick Henry as in the past, but we've seen them. Keaton Mitchell had a big one on Sunday. But what are you doing in between those big chunk runs? 2 yards on first down. Second and 10, and you run for 3 yards, right? You gain 3 yards on first down, you gain 2 yards on second down, and suddenly it's third and five, right? I mean, there's just way too much of that. I mean, short yardage, we don't have to get into that, right? Goal to go, the issues the Ravens have had there all season, right? So that's where I look at this thing and I see that, and that's where you look at this ground game and say, all right, whether they're ranked fifth or fourth or whatever it is in rushing yards per game. On a down by down, play by play basis, is that carrying your offense in the way that it did back in 2018 and 2019 to the point where Lamar didn't really have, like, didn't have to throw because they needed them to. It was just the operation set up that you could throw, and it was very advantageous, and it was so efficient, right? Whereas now you're in a position where you're behind the chains as often as they've been this season, and you have a bad offensive line that can't pass protect when you're in true pass sets. And that impacts how many blockers you need to keep in. That impacts what Todd Monken can call. That impacts how many guys are out in routes. And yeah, it impacts how your quarterback is feeling in terms of his feet, in terms of how comfortable he's feeling, in terms of how he's seeing the game downfield. We talked a lot about how in that Cincinnati game, he wasn't seeing the field in the way that Lamar Jackson typically sees the field, and some of the missed throws, or guys that he didn't even try to throw to that were there. It impacts everything. I mean, their offense right now for me really feels like a house of cards where it's just, they have their moments, and they had their moments in the second half on Sunday, but the consistency just is not there across the board. And I just, with four games to go, I don't know if they're fixing that at this point in time. I don't know if the pre-2020, the 2024 or the 2023 or the 2019 Ravens are suddenly going to show up here over the last few weeks. I mean, we've been waiting all season for that, and it just hasn't happened to any meaningful degree of consistency. So, that was a long-winded answer, kind of talking about the ground game, but that's what I see. And look, Lamar Jackson's not breaking tackles like he did in the past, and obviously his health is a big part of that.
And he can't go to the house.
But I would also say,
I'm not even sure he can cut you and make you bleed so much at this point, other than just getting to the sticks to get a first down, which he did a couple times. But that's the extent of it. That's the
sure.
extent of his want in
That
regard to
said,
taking on the middle of the field.
because I want to make sure that I'm not putting it all on Lamar, and I'm not. I mean, not even close. And I'm not even putting it all on the offensive line, although certainly they're the leading culprit in my mind. But let me throw out a couple numbers for you about Derrick Henry going into Sunday's
Well,
game.
I was going to transition and say that Luke's here, by the way, Baltimore Luke. Of course, you can follow his work and all that. We're doing the Crab Cake Tour. I want to promote everything. Our friends at GBMC, who've helped save my life in a colonoscopy a couple weeks ago. So thank you to them. Also, our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I was going to ask you about the Henry thing because I did get in the car right after the game and I listened to 98 Rock and I listened to post game. I heard some phone calls for Keith Mills and for Nick Testoni, did a nice job in post game. And the Derrick Henry thing to the fan base, and I guess to Tony Romo calling the game too, is he's either on the field or he's not on the field. And if he's not, why? And why? And is it down in distance? And is he winded? And why don't we just he's the bell cow. Just give him the ball 32 times and pretend he's Earl Campbell for a while. I'm literally throwing that to you because you were going in that direction in a general sense. And to me, the Derrick Henry thing was my next question is to say, well, he's not really their super back. You know what I mean? And I don't know if you sat with Todd Monken, I know he did 9 minutes with the media the other day. You said define his role in the offense for me as far as what is and what isn't and what to do and what to don't. And how you're thinking about him over the long haul and all of this, because the fans, the media, the week leading up, just put Derrick Henry in there. Oh, he's going to run the ball. They're going to run
And
the
that's
ball.
all
They're
it
going to run the
is,
ball.
right? It's that simple.
Yeah, it's not that simple. It hasn't been that simple for 13 weeks.
Let me be very clear. I don't think Derrick Henry's washed up. This isn't me saying that he's washed by any means. I
Good,
mean,
because I predicted they were going to win a Super Bowl when he got his ass.
that it's not that. It's not that. That said, I'm going to throw a couple stats to you. So there are multiple websites now, Pro Football Focus, Pro Football Reference, right? I mean, everyone knows, right? And everyone knows I love stats. I'm a
And
nerd.
by the way, Aaron Schatz was on the show this week. Please go find it at Baltimore Positive. He was brilliant.
But all of these sites credit forced missed tackles, right? So like a running back, I just cited Lamar, like Next Gen Stats had the number that was staggering to people that on Lamar's designed runs in 2025, he didn't have a single broken tackle going into Sunday's game. I don't know if that changed Sunday or not.
And
Look at the
elusiveness was the first part of the you know, when he came out of Louisville, right?
But I want to for Derrick Henry, I'll just and again, what define a missed tackle? There's some subjectivity there in the same way that when you grade offensive line play, whether a guy is a plus, a minus, or is it kind of just average?
And when a
So
guy's coming to make a tackle, the angle he has on you, where
exactly.
you are,
So it,
right.
so none of these numbers individually are gospel, but I think when you see trends, you can draw a conclusion. So Pro Football Focus last year had Derrick Henry at 87 broken tackles or forced missed tackles. However, 87. Going into Sunday's game, guess how many they had him with this year? So
12.
87 last year. What'd you
12.
say? 18. Pro Football Reference had him at 42 broken tackles. So again, right there, you see some subjectivity as far as what they define a broken tackle compared to Pro Football Focus. Again, that's why you don't take one number. You look at multiple numbers and you try to see if there's a pattern that develops. They had him at 42 last year, had him at 7 this year. Now, I
They're
don't know.
stingy. They're tough
They
graders.
are.
They grade like the Russian judges when Nancy Kerrigan's skating.
But can we draw a conclusion there that Derrick Henry's not breaking as many tackles as he did last year? I think he can, right? So now, and again, that's not to say that Derrick Henry, by the way, Saquon Barkley, who's younger than Derrick Henry, having an awful year for the Eagles. I mean, the Eagles can't run the ball. I mean, at least the Ravens still have the high-end splash plays, right? I mean, the Ravens are what I would call a high-variance running game, meaning they're getting the big plays, but there's just way too many lulls waiting in between those big plays. Whereas Philly, I mean, they're just not running the ball, period. I mean, go look at Saquon Barkley's numbers. I mean, Derrick Henry's still 1,000 yard back and all that. Point is, for everyone that's just saying, "I'll just run the ball, just run the ball, just run the ball, just run the ball," are we not seeing the number of no gain on first and 10, 1 yard on second and 10, right? I mean, you're still seeing too many of those plays. And I'm not saying specifically on Sunday, but just evaluating this offense over the course of the season, there's too much of that at work. Now, let me be clear. That's not to say that there aren't instances where Todd Monken couldn't run the ball. There aren't plays where you could say, "Man, you should have run the ball there." And I would even say, and this even applied to the second half last week against Cincinnati, they are still coming out and running the ball at times where in the past you would have said, "Oh, well, they're totally going to abandon it here. They're totally going to abandon it here." But I said to you after the Cincinnati game, it's a matter of running the ball better. Now, did they run the ball better on Sunday? Sure. They ran for over 200 yards. Do I think that they're going to run their way to a Super Bowl or a deep January run with the way that the offense collectively is playing? No, because you've got to be able to do more with your passing game. And that's where I just look at this passing game right now. It's Zay Flowers and, like likely a little bit when he's
Well, they
holding
gave
on to the
Andrews a
ball.
lot of money. You and I did 25 minutes on that. People could find a Baltimore
Yeah.
positive as to why. And likely now has been not on the field much. He's been a big part of their story and a big part of the success until it's not, or at
Yeah.
least the referees say it's not.
Well, and how about the fact that they gave Rashad Bateman? Now, it was a very team-friendly extension, but they gave Rashad Bateman another extension this spring.
They believe in their guys.
And that Bateman play, whether that was a drop, looking at it from another angle, I mean, he needs to catch it. It wasn't the best throw either. Lamar really put that way to the outside when I think that could have been, that was a little more of a layup throw than it ended up being. But either way, Lamar or Bateman or both, like you needed that. Like that's inside the red zone. That's at least moving the chains there on third down, if not a touchdown. I mean, they're missing way too many of those. We saw it. I mean, big time Lamar with accuracy issues against Cincinnati. Guys not being on the same page. I mean, the end zone throw that goes off Andrews. I know Brian Baldinger, I think it was Baldy, breaking it down, wondered if it was going to DeAndre Hopkins in the back of the end zone there. So, I mean, you're seeing so much of that. And for all the talk over the years about the passing game, and we talk about, the volume's not very high, but the efficiency's really high. I mean, the volume's not very good, and the efficiency's not very good for this passing game right now. And yeah, I think the O-line continues to be the lead, but there are also times where Lamar has had time. I mean, I don't think the O-line played horribly against Cincinnati, for example. And you still saw
Well,
what the
not just that
passing
he
game looked
has
like.
time, he used to have the ability to create more
And
time.
there's
And
that part
that's
of it too.
really
Sure.
part of the differentiator. Just,
Sure.
well, he doesn't have the wheels and he can't take off. Dude, he can't plant. He can't throw.
Yeah.
He's not seeing the field well. He
Yeah.
knows he doesn't have as much time. He's not feeling things the same way. He doesn't have the same running game. He's not getting the same down and distances. When he hits Andrews between the 8 and 9, he's not sure if he's going to catch it.
Yeah.
And when he hits
Something
Bateman
breaks
between the
down.
7 and the 0 or whatever, I'm
Something
not.
breaks down every single play. Yeah. Go
And
ahead.
that's
Sorry.
when the offensive line's holding its weight, holding its
Sure.
water, right?
Sure. I mean, something breaks down. I mean, it's always something, right? I mean, you hear that expression, just in life, it's always something. I mean, that's what it feels like for their offense. I mean, it does. And look, I'd like to sit here and say, man, well, they can really take a positive out of the fact they ran for over 200 yards. They still lost. I
Only
mean,
positive they
like,
can take out is beating Cincinnati the next day. The only positive they have are their
they've
opportunities to
got to
win these
win.
football games.
I'm right, but you continue to just look at this team, and we'll get to the defense eventually, but they're just not very good. Like, what is their identity? What do they do well? What do you really? I'm not even talking about them across the board not being a championship caliber team. Like, what phase of the game, what aspect of this football team right now is truly championship
What is
caliber?
it? What part of it's even consistent? We don't.
Yeah,
We don't know what I'm going
I
to
mean,
get. That's the problem.
we thought the defense was there, not after the
But dude,
last
I
two
don't see any
weeks.
signs of elite anything.
Yeah, I mean, they're.
I don't see. Like, there's no pass rush, or they have a hard time getting the team off the field, which really affects their running game, which really affects their backside ability to cover. And then they don't keep the ball much because they're punting more because they're
Which
not.
then impacts your defense.
Right, I
Like
mean,
you can
just
go
down the
around and around in a
line,
circle.
right?
Yeah,
Yeah, there you go,
exactly.
right?
And then when some of those things are going well, then you have breakdowns on special teams, right? I
Well,
mean,
I've been
look.
watching this. I've written a couple of books on Ravens championship teams, and I guess this is the point where at 57 you feel like you know everything, then
Yeah.
AI comes and you realize you don't know anything at all. Is that you don't have an offensive line. You know
Yeah.
what I mean? Like I
Yeah.
should talk to all the smart people I know in the game and say, if you got to build something, I Dave Lappin might come on this because he was an offensive lineman, or Mike Flynn, ask those guys about it. But J.O., get him, Harry Swain. I got a bunch of guys around. Mulitalo, what's the most important part? The O-line, Baldy, jeez, my God. So I'm talking about all my bunkies here, all
Yeah.
O-linemen, But without that, yeah, ain't got much. And I know they've all said that to me for 30 years. I'm just saying, based on this year and having a Super Bowl, the thoughts of a Super Bowl run, two-time MVP quarterback that should have been three, first-round wide receiver, first-round wide receiver you gave a contract, tight end that's been to the Pro Bowl, a fullback that may have been the best fullback of his generation in this sport for this period of time, running back who's going to the Hall of Fame, another wide receiver that's going to the Hall of Fame, right? Left tackle's a first-round pick. You're giving him $20 million a year. Center's a guy you were thinking about giving 12, 16, $18 million a year to, right? Right tackle's a guy you believe. Like, so all of this in regard to the offense and how you
Yeah.
feel about it, how you feel about the talent you've drafted and the way you've drafted and the way you've built this thing. This is a wow when the offensive line is just not any good. Doesn't matter how much skill you surround them with, you're really going to struggle because you can't hide it. You can't hide it.
Yeah, and I would say, and look, you just went down the list of all the things we've been talking about since March. You know what I mean? Like, when has it come together? I mean, like, in the actual games, not potential, right? Not what I wrote
I
for
was blown
Lindy's.
away after the game to hear how many people still, when they're doing percentages and Kornacki's up,
Yeah.
how many people just think the Ravens are going to win because
Although
they're too purple?
the percentage isn't as I mean, they're like, depending on your
30
source, it's
something.
like 20. I've seen some as low as like 20%, and some as high as like 35%. But that's not nothing, right?
Well, I mean, everybody
I
thinks the
just,
Steelers stink, but they just walked out with your
but
lunch
like,
money.
but this is where, and this is where I would, because look, I've been the guy over the years. We both talked about it. I don't want to make it sound like it's just me, but you and I both know what happened in 2012. I mean, we are almost coming up on 13 years to the day. Was it December 9th? when they fired Cam, or December 10th or something like it was right around then.
Yeah, we were planking right around here.
Yeah, it
Right
was
around here.
right or well, that was the week after, right? I mean, that was the week after. I mean, that was Caldwell's first game as offensive coordinator. But so you can point to 2012. Everyone will cite 2005. I mean, we just celebrated the 2000 team, you know, five straight games without a touchdown. But even in the midst of those team struggles, there were moments and games and victories over the course of that season where you said, there, that's what it looks like. The Ravens don't have a single win this season where you can say, there, that's what it looks like. Their best win this year is beating the Chicago Bears, which, by the way, looks way better now than it did then, especially without Lamar playing. But in 2012, they beat the Patriots in that September Sunday night game. And they had the hey diddle diddle Ray Rice up the middle, fourth and 29 game. And they beat the Steelers on the road at a time where that really truly meant a whole lot compared to what it means in the, you know, what the current iteration of the Steelers. In 2000, they beat Jacksonville in week two. They beat Tennessee in Nashville in the regular season, right? So, like, they had those moments, even among
Kids
the
call them
struggles,
signature wins, right?
even with the struggles that accompanied those, they had a signature win or two where you'd say, that's what it looks like. This team doesn't have a single win that you
Well, the
feel that way
signature
about.
wins better be New England and Green Bay.
I mean, and
They
if they
better
do that,
be.
if they do that, then fine, we'll revisit that. But like,
No matter what their record, if they were 10-2, you'd still want them to look good in those games, not
sure.
bad in those
And
games, in order to feel good about them. So there still is this, oh, they're going to fix everything. They're going to run the table. They're going to go to Pittsburgh and win. And
I
they're
mean, I
going to,
don't.
like, and that's what a lot of, they're going to be favored to win every week. And like, oh, I don't know how they're going to be favored against New England or Green Bay. I mean, I don't know how the odds makers are
At
going to
this,
figure that out.
I would, at this point now, I would think Green Bay is going to be favored
Well,
at
then
this
you
point.
don't think they're going to the playoffs. And if you think that they're, you think New England will be an underdog here.
I could see the Ravens being like minus one. Like,
Okay.
but if they lose to Cincinnati on Sunday, probably not. Then
Truly on reputation, right?
it,
Truly on
oh,
reputation.
that's all this team has this year. I mean, like I said, they're the definition of paper champions this year. How, I mean, think about how much publicity they got in terms of how many people said they were going to win the Super Bowl this year. And you see what they've been. They're not a good football
It's
team.
because
Now,
their offensive and defensive lines are no good. That's
maybe
really
they'll
the
become a
story.
good football team over the last 3 or 4 weeks, defying all the odds, defying all the information we now have on this team. And look, I get it. Lamar looked better on Sunday, and I'm glad to see that. I didn't think Lamar, like, I didn't think his career was over. Like, I didn't think he was washed up. But was it MVP level Lamar? No. And it's still the same offensive line, and it's still the same offense that looks so disjointed that that was a horrible 2-minute drill at the end of the game. I mean, if they managed their time at all, they had a really legitimate chance to win that football game even at the end. I mean,
And I
they
always
ran
think
out of
to
time.
myself in the middle of it, dude, and I don't mean to be a jerk, but I'll be one on the radio. I always think Lamar's not good at this. They're not good at this. They're not good at it. And I'm like, that's what I said going into it.
For how veteran laden that group should be when you're talking about an 8th-year quarterback and a third-year
That's
offensive
not his
coordinator.
strength, is
No,
leading a
but
two-minute offense
why?
and
I
coming
mean,
back. His strength was freight training teams 55-10. I mean, then you don't have to worry about it. But like, and I know you'll cite five examples where he won a game in Cleveland late or so, and that's great, but it's still not, it's, look, John Elway didn't want to be in that position every week either,
no one
but
wants
I
to
felt
be. You
better
don't,
about it
yeah.
when it
Patrick
was like
Mahomes
that.
doesn't want to be, right? I
Right.
mean, but yeah, I mean, but just
But
not
to
even.
win games in this league, you got to be good at that because the game
Well,
comes down to that.
especially if you're not very good across the board, yeah, you're going to be behind, right? I mean, they've been behind a lot this year. No, no duh. They're 6-7. So, yeah, I mean, we can keep waiting for that. I mean, if people want to continue, and look, I'm not throwing in the towel, but I'm not going to sit here and lie and say that I have this belief in this football team at this point because I just don't. I just don't think they're very good. Again, I don't think they're horrendous, but like to the point I just made about the 2000 and the 2012 Ravens, there were at least wins along the way in those seasons, even with all the struggles that they went through, where you'd say, that's what it looks like. They don't have a single performance this year where you say, that's what it looks like. One side of the ball, okay, like even week one, 3.5 quarters, that offense, that's what it looks like. They put up 40 points in Buffalo, right? But the defense stunk. And as the year's gone on, the defense has gotten better. And the offense has stunk for large stretches over the last month and a half. Is it going to come together? I mean, maybe. Stranger things have happened, I suppose.
That's
But
why they play the games in
yeah,
Cincinnati this week, right?
sure. We'll see. We'll see. They're going to have their chance. And my goodness, they couldn't ask for any more fortune. For all the talk about the officiating on Sunday, the fact that they are 6-7 and still have a very clear path, even if it's not an easy path, but a clear path nonetheless, that doesn't involve team A, B, and C winning and this team losing and this team needing to have, a certain strength of victory for, you know what I mean? Like, you don't have to do that. You are still in a position where if you go
Pick the
win and
good
win
year
and
to
win,
stink and host a playoff game in the AFC North
but
or
is it going
some
to
other one.
happen? Well, at this point, I am certainly not holding my breath, that's for
Here, I'll
sure.
take it. No, you don't want it. No, I'll take it.
Yeah.
Luke Jones is here. He is Baltimore Luke. I'm very appreciative of our partners at Curia Wellness as far as all of our partnerships here during the holidays. We're going to be out doing great things. Maryland Crab Cake Tour is going all over Baltimore. We're going to be at Fadley's on Wednesday. Thursday, we're going to be downtown at Canton at DePasquale's in the morning, having some breakfast. Maybe some pizza, from what I understand. Friday, we're going to be at Honey's in Halethorpe. Next Thursday, at Costas in Dundalk, not Timonium. Only go to Dundalk for the crabs. I had to teach some of the Ravens guys that over the weekend. I'm like, no, they don't have the crabs in Timonium. Only have them in Dundalk. And then on Friday of next week, we'll be at Gertrude's at the BMA with my cousin by marriage, John Shields. Chef John, the good man. And Dan Roderick's going to join us over at Gertrude's as well, talk about the holidays and the Feast of the Seven Fishes. Monday, the 22nd, we're going to be at Planet Fitness in Timonium, brand new location, a brand new everything in there. I can't wait to see it. It's going to be awesome, state of the art. We're going to be doing the show there with my pal Justin Drummond in April and a whole bunch of folks over there at Planet Fitness. And I'm going to have a crab cake too from Costas over there on the 22nd too. So I am going to involve Costas in Timonium. It's just going to be over at Planet Fitness because they came over to me over at Costas. I am Nestor. He is Luke. There's plenty more football ahead. Got some great guests coming on this week too. Seth Wickersham, a whole bunch of people coming on this week. We had Aaron Schatz last week. Please go check that out on DVOA and offense and offensive lines. As much as Luke and I went at it on offensive lines being offensive, Aaron Schatz and I took even a deeper dive than that. So you'll want to check that out. He's Luke. I'm Nestor. Back for more. We're Baltimore Positive.